All right, good morning. Please excuse our construction there. We're installing some things. Let's open to Numbers in the Old Testament. Numbers, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers 11. Numbers 11. Let's pray this morning. Father, we just thank you for your grace. We thank you for all the things that you've done in our lives. God, we just pray, God, that this morning you'd be close to our hearts. God, as we draw near to you, would you draw near to us? And Lord, we pray for revelation of your word. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Pastor Nate, I don't know if you have a chance, but if you could put Numbers 11, 1 on the screen for people who come in later. Okay, Numbers 11, verse 1. This is from the NASB. Now the people became like those who complain of adversity in the hearing of the Lord. And when the Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed some of the outskirts of the camp. And we'll just go over that today. And NASB, once again, is kind of confusing. But if I were to translate it, It would say something like, now the people began to complain of their adversity or their difficult circumstances or their struggles, and God heard it. Yahweh heard it. And so his anger kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned and killed them, killed some of them. And in verse 2, people therefore cried out to Moses. Moses prayed, and the fire died out. And so here is sort of the result of people complaining. And you know that God and Moses rescued, you know, the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt, and they're just complaining because they're eating manna all day, and they're just really sick and tired of just of their circumstance. And so they complain and complain, and God is just tired of it. He finally has enough, and he decides to kill them. Great. How wonderful. The dictionary defines complaining as an expression of unhappiness, dissatisfaction, or discontent. So in other words, complaining, when you complain, it's an outward expression of discontent within your heart. And just about everybody complains. Why not? I mean, there's so much to complain about. You know, our bosses, you know, our jobs, traffic, you know, people, church. There's so many things to complain about, right? But I think as we examine sort of not only this passage, but other passages in the New Testament and the words of Jesus, when we complain, I think it reveals sort of what's inside our heart, and it may be a symptom of a more deep-seated problem, spiritual problem. And that problem is the failure to trust in God and to submit to his providence, his sovereignty over your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, and those are plans to prosper, and those plans are to be good, not for evil, not for calamity." And so when we begin to complain about our circumstances and our situation, I think it reveals sort of a deep-seated spiritual issue in our heart that we fail to trust in God for his plan in our life because it's not going the way that we want it to go. And so, you know, the Israelites, they've been supernaturally saved from slavery in Egypt, protected from their enemies, God supplying bread and water daily for them in the desert, and still they complain. They complain about their food, they complain about their imaginary luxuries that they left behind in Egypt, they complain about their leaders. And the Bible says when they complained, it displeased the Lord. The Lord heard it, his anger was kindled, and bam. Killed a bunch of them. But what they fail to realize is that their success in freedom depended upon the sovereignty of God, depended upon God's plans. Their freedom depended upon his provision and his sovereignty. And so when they begin to complain and when they begin to murmur and when they begin to complain against Moses and Aaron, basically they are complaining against God's sovereign plan and ability to carry out his will. When they're complaining against God's sovereign ability to carry out his will. And complaining, of course, as I mentioned, is a symptom of a deeper level problem, that there's discontent in their hearts. They're evidence, it's evidence that they're dissatisfied with what God is doing. When they're complaining, it's evidence that they're dissatisfied with what God is doing. Of course, I would complain too if I had bread and water every single day for 40 years. I'd be kind of sick of it too. I'd be like, can we get something else for once? You know, this is kind of getting old here. I would complain too, but what I'm saying is factually, truthfully, that their complaint is representing sort of their dissatisfaction with the way God is doing things. God wants to provide bread and water for them, wants to provide food. That's his decision. That's how he's doing it. And now they're complaining because they're dissatisfied about how God is doing things. And so every complaint against our circumstance, every grumble about the weather, complaint about how people treat us, the daily trials of life, you wonder if they're directed against the one who, in Ephesians 1:11, says that he is the one who will carry out things to completion. He'll carry out his will, the purposes of his will. God will carry out the purposes of his will. And when we complain about the way he's doing things, are we coming against the one who promises to carry out his will? And so now you have to examine yourself. We have to examine ourselves. Who are we to cross-examine God? Am I in a better position to judge how to do things? Who am I to come against God with my complaining? If you look in Acts chapter 16, you remember Paul and Silas, they're in jail and imprisoned, and you don't notice any complaints from them. You know, and they have every right to complain. It's like, God, you know, I've been spreading the gospel, I've been persecuted for the gospel, and you know, they have every right. But what we see on a deeper level is that Paul is trusting in God's sovereignty and his purposes and his will. And most times when we begin to complain because of the circumstance right in front of us, it's because, in my opinion, we forget the big picture of God's sovereignty and God's will and God's purposes and God's plans. And so the people in Numbers 11, they went on to complain about their diet, you know, in the wilderness, and they want to talk about how great the food was in Egypt, but they forgot that they were slaves in Egypt. And a lot of times we get nearsighted. We look at the irritations and the frustrations right in front of us. We lose our perspectives. We blow today's problems way out of proportion. We forget the larger picture of the greater things that God is doing in our lives. And we miss the big tapestry. The greatest inspirations in our lives are peoples whose lives have overcome such great adversity and tragedy and difficulty because they put their trust in God, and God was able to pull through because God has a plan. And of course, there were times of, God, you know, what are you doing? And I'm not saying throw out wisdom, throw out practicality, but I'm just saying, you know, God has a big tapestry that is beautiful, that has all sorts of different colors, ups and downs, hills and valleys. But I'm reminded of the scripture in Genesis 8 where it says, all things work together for good for those who love God and who are called according to his purposes. And when we begin to complain, we come against the trust and the belief in Romans 8 that God will take all these things and cause it to be good for those who love him, who are called according to their purposes. See, because if the Christian, if the believer truly, truly believes that the Lord is in control and that he truly is working all things for the good, then he'll stop complaining and start thanking the Lord for the plan he has working together for us. One time, there's a missionary who was walking along a trail with some of the natives, and suddenly one of the natives shot a gun right on the path, and he killed a huge green snake on the path, and the missionary didn't see it. He didn't see it at first, and if the native person didn't shoot it, he would have stepped on it. And so he asked the native man, how come I didn't see it? I just didn't see it. And they walked on. Soon, the native grabbed his arm and said, do you see that? Do you see the leopard? And he looked around and he's like, no, I don't see it. There's, and then it moved. He's like, oh yeah, I see it now. And he said, well, wait a minute, how come I couldn't see it? I walked the same path as you. You see the snake, I see the path. You point out what looks to me like shadows and stone, and then it becomes a leopard. Why couldn't I see them? You know, and you know it could be dangerous. And the native person's reply was, it's because you have to see through Bushmen's eyes. In other words, if you stay in the jungle long enough, you'll be able to see what they call Bushmen eyes. And I think that's a great example or illustration of how we walk on this path of life. That if we could see through God's eyes, if we could see that our circumstances through God's eyes, where other people just see leaves and where other people see just rocks and vines, God sees greater things for that. A problem with complaining is that it discredits our Christian testimony. It just totally discredits it. You know, we talk about God and we talk about how much we love Him and how good He is. But often we just complain about our circumstances and we just complain about, the things that we're going through. The Bible says in Philippians 2 is that we should be blameless, harmless, above reproach, without complaining or murmuring and things, because that's what a child of God is called to be. A Christian who is always grumbling, complaining, is harmful for the cause of Christ. Because nobody likes to be around people who complain. Nobody likes to be people who grumble and complain. The world is not attracted to that person. In fact, people, you know, like always mention, why did that person complain so much? Once again, I go back to Paul and Silas, and I'm thinking about their testimony. You know, they're in jail, and they could have easily complained and murmured and griped about their situation. And I imagine a conversation going on. You know, what if Silas said to Paul, Paul, you know, you thought you were such a big shot. You had to show off and cast those demons out, you know. Now look at the trouble with him. Why couldn't you just have left that demon-possessed person alone? Now because of you, you know, we're in this situation, and man, you know, we could die, and, you know, we're struggling. And I wonder if that dialogue, if that had happened in the jail, if the jailer that was there would have asked, what must I do to be saved? I doubt it. He probably would have looked at their conversation, listened to that, and said, man, I got to stay away from this Christianity thing. And so as believers, our testimony is important because God uses our lives to influence others. And when people see us as people who complain all the time, they're not going to want Christ. They're not going to want Christ. There's a man who walked into a hardware store and he saw a chainsaw advertised to cut 6 trees in an hour. And so he was excited about that. He had a lot of trees to cut, so he bought it. The next day he came back complaining, grumbling, fussing. He said, hey, this chainsaw is defective. You know, it would only cut 1 tree. And that 1 tree, it took me all day long. Salesperson looked, said, hey, let me take a look at it. He reached down and he began to start the chainsaw. And then the man said, wait a second, what is that noise? He didn't know how to use this chainsaw, and therefore he couldn't see that you could cut 6 trees in an hour. But instead, he just complained about it. And I think a lot of us, it's kind of like, you know, for someone who doesn't know how to use technology and their smartphones and things, and it's like, whoa, our phone could do all that? It's like, wow, I didn't know. And they're just using it just for making calls. It's like we can't see the greater things that God has. We didn't know that it could be done. We don't know currently in our circumstance that God could take the mess that you're in and change it and turn it into something great and something beautiful. We can't see that yet. And so, of course, we could complain. But that's not what God calls us to do. In fact, in Numbers 11, he had enough of that. He just killed all the people. He's like, stop complaining. I'm going to kill you. Bam. Just stop it. I mean, that's a pretty dramatic way to get God's people to stop complaining. 2 girls were eating some grapes, and one of them said, wow, aren't these grapes sweet? The other girl said, I guess so, but they're full of seeds, complaining about it. They wandered into a garden, and one of the girls said, wow, look at those big, beautiful red roses. The other girl says, yeah, but they're full of thorns. And that day was a very warm day, and the sun was out. And so, wow, what a beautiful, sunny day. The other girl, you know what she said? It's too hot. And like the children of Israel in today's passage, you know, they complain, grumble, but instead they should be praising God for their victory. They should be praising God for His gracious provision. They should be praising God. And just want to close with saying that the greatest antidote against complaining is to thank and to praise. So even this morning, as I was waking up early, complaining about waking up early. How ironic. I had to, you know, I knew what I was going to talk about, and I had to immediately apply this, and I had to begin to go in the reverse spirit. Instead of complaining, it's thank you, Lord, that I'm able to wake up early, and now I have a large part of my day. Thank you, Lord, that I can, you know, I was complaining about the distance, you know, how far we live, you know, thank you, Lord, that I can spend 25 minutes, a long 25 minutes, you know, just enjoying that time. Thank you, Lord, you know, even though it's humid, thank you, Lord, that, you know, it's humid. Thank you, Lord. In other words, I just want to draw our attention to our devotional this morning about sort of the attitude that God has towards those who complain. I don't think he killed these guys or destroyed these guys because, you know, just because. I think he wants us as his people to understand, don't complain. There's so many things to praise God for, to remind us of what he has gone through. Yeah, you know, and this is not to negate how difficult your circumstance is. This is not to negate how painful it is. It's not to negate those things at all. Even in the most painful of circumstances, to praise God, to thank God, and not to complain. So I want us to meditate on that this morning. If you guys could come up, let's bow our heads. And what are the things that you've already complained this morning? In the few hours or minutes that you've been awake already, what have you already complained about? Instead, can we take the very things that we complain about, the very problem, the very person even in your lives, and can we reverse that? And can we thank God for them? Can we thank God for our circumstances? I mean, this morning I could have sort of focused on God's anger, and I don't want to do that. But just so you know, God really doesn't like his people complaining. It just goes against trusting that he is able to follow through in his will for your life. Basically, when we complain, we're coming against God and saying, God, I just don't like what you're doing in my life. Can we say that? Can we actually have the audacity to say, God, I just don't like what you're doing in my life? When God has a plan for you, and those plans are to succeed, those plans are for good, not for evil. And when we complain, we're saying, God, you don't know what you're doing. Even the most difficult and tragic circumstances of your life, I know it's hard to see, but there is a great tapestry that God is weaving right now. And all we can do is come before him, worship him, honor him, put our trust in him, humble ourselves. Say, God, I don't want to complain anymore, for you do know what you're doing.
Fortress. tristes à cœur. A sacred refuge is your day. Your kingdom is unshakable. With you forever we will reign. Our God is jealous for His own. None could comprehend His love and His mercy. Our God is exalted on His throne.
So let's present before the Lord just the things that that we're complaining about, and let's turn it into to praise. I know when we complain, our hearts begin to rot and to decay. But when we turn it into praise, we begin to see through God's eyes that God has a plan. You know, as I was sitting there, realized, yeah, thank you, Lord, for the humidity that my sweat glands are working properly. Praise the Lord. And so as we have a chuckle and laugh about that, it begins to fill your spirit with joy and peace. But if you keep complaints inside our hearts, it's going to rot and decay our spirit. And so before we go into intercession for our community, let's just begin to lay those things before the Lord, the things that you're complaining about, and say, God, I trust that you're sovereign. I trust in your provision. I trust that you're greater than my circumstance, that you're bigger than my problems. And God, we just submit that to you. And Lord, we need you. We need your help. So can we do that right now? Lord, we just lift up our church. God, fulfill your purposes, God. Fulfill your plan, God. You're going to do it because you're the Lord. You're the Lord who delivered your people out of Israel, God. You're the Lord that provided for them, God. And that you're the Lord that kept them alive, God. And Father, we pray. Maybe you're complaining that you're single. Well, let's thank the Lord that you're single. Maybe you're complaining about your marriage. Well, let's thank the Lord that you're married. Maybe you're complaining about the behavior of your kids. Well, let's thank the Lord for our kids. Maybe you're complaining about your job. Well, let's thank the Lord that you have a job. Maybe you're complaining that you don't have a job. Well, let's thank the Lord that you don't have a job, that you can do other things. Let's just thank the Lord, not complain. We're going to move into praying for our community, and afterwards on your own time, continue that with that theme as you pray. But let's lift up those who are going through cancer, and you know, even for them, you know, we have to thank the Lord that they're going through, as horrific as it is, that the Lord has a plan for their lives, that God can use them to shine a light to those who are struggling, that they would have a testimony of healing and God's power. And so let's lift them up in prayer. Let's ask God to heal them completely. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Let's lift up those who are still pre-believers, and let's ask the Lord to open their eyes. Let's ask the Lord to use their illness to open their eyes to see the grace and love and power of God and the glory of God. Let's lift them up in prayer right now. Pray for those with other illnesses. And if you look at the bottom, there's a little girl named Lizzie. She's 3 years old, and she had cancer, brain cancer, I believe. And today, I believe, from what I hear, she's having a procedure, surgery to replace or to put back part of her skull back together. And so we've been faithfully praying for her. So if you could pray for her surgery today. Let's ask the Lord to really bless her. And it's really never met her, don't know who she is. But as a 3-year-old, the same age as my son, I just have a soft spot for Lizzie. And so let's lift her up. And also let's lift up others who are on this list. Let's pray. Let's pray for those looking for jobs. Let's ask the Lord, and you know, God is moving. Though some of the names have been on the screen for a long time, God is moving on their behalf. And so let's continue to lift them up in prayer and ask the Lord to open doors. So, yeah, let's pray.
God, we just thank you for Nigel. We just ask for openings, God. Lord, we know that it can come quickly at any moment. God, so Lord, we just pray, God, so we're prepared, Lord. We just pray, God, Lord, open those doors, Lord. We pray for Mark, God. Lord, we pray for the job that he came to do, God, Lord. If it's your will, God, open those doors. Let it be signed. Let it be done today, God. Let it come. In Jesus' name, Lord, God, for the Lord, for the time, Lord, give him grace.
Let's pray for our mission focus that we have for today. And for Tuesday, it's China. And so let's lift up Pastor Sam Kim and Annie for SP Beijing. Let's pray for their ever-growing family. Let's pray for the Chong family and Matt Nate's parents, Bas Rabas, Leanne, Edie, GGR kids, churches there. And let's pray for the earthquake that just happened recently. Let's pray for the families that have lost many loved ones. And let's pray that the Lord will restore that area as there are rumblings happening in China in the natural. Let it be indicative of what God wants to do in the supernatural. So let's lift up China right now.
God, we just thank you, God, for China. Lord, we pray for our speech. God, we pray for our families to continue to grow. Lord, I pray that you lead them in wisdom and guidance, Lord. We pray for our ever-growing family. Lord, we just pray, God, for a blessing.
Let's pray for our SP staff, the pastoral ministry staff. And as you notice, Janelle has been added, and she's going to be serving part-time. So let's lift up our pastors and our administrative help and pray for their families, pray for wisdom and guidance and unity. And so let's lift up our SP staff and leaders. Can we pray for our worship teams and for our AV team? And let's pray that God's spirit and anointing would be upon them as they serve. Let's ask the Lord to bless them. Let's pray for even the equipment. There's lots of potential for technical problems to happen. So let's pray over the equipment, and let's just pray for our worship team and AV team. Finally, let's pray for our house churches, for Bonham Kennedy, Kowloon, LKF, and OPR. And let's ask the Lord to use this time to just bring them together to talk about humility and talk about Micah 6:8. And let's ask the Lord to really inspire them to walk humbly before God. So let's lift them up in prayer.
Lord, we thank you for Bonham. Lord, we pray for the leaders, God. We pray for Kennedy and Kowloon and their followers. walk humbly together before you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Jesus, for this day. And we just pray, Father, for your grace to be with you, Lord. We pray, Father, that we feel the joy and want to love one another, and serve one another, and care for one another.
Yes, Lord, we give you this day. And Lord, we don't want to complain today, but we want to give you thanks. We want to give you praise for what you've done. And Lord, we just pray that we would see through your eyes, God. And God, when we're in a difficult situation, God, give us the strength and to put our trust in you in all things and in all times, Lord. And Father, we just thank you that you are a good God, that you're good all the time, even though our circumstances may be not. And so, Lord, we just want to honor you today. We give you this day and dedicate it to you. In Jesus' name we pray.